Our scripture reading tonight is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. And this takes place just after Jesus has appeared after the resurrection to some of the disciples who are out in the boat fishing, and he instructs them to cast their net on the other side of the boat, and they come into shore with a great catch. This is what follows. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of the Lord. In any Christian's list of most beloved passages, the "feed my sheep" passage is probably right up there near the top. Perhaps because it's often paired with the scene of Peter's threefold denial of Jesus in the temple courtyard. And this is fitting. Peter sinned out of fear for his own life, three times denying any knowledge or association with Jesus. Jesus, three times, allows Peter to reverse his words and express his love for Jesus. We could leave it at that, a threefold denial and a threefold declaration of love. It seems that justice has been served, and it's wrapped up nicely in a blood-red bow. Trinitarian imagery is abundant in John 21. According to John, earlier in the passage, this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. Jesus asks a question three times. Peter responds three times, and Jesus commissions him three times. We can appreciate the sense of completeness here, and this would be the shortest sermon in the history of Church of the Servant. But there's much more to this picture. I am by no means a Greek scholar, but I am a lover of language, symbol, mystery, and meaning. And it's hard, even for me, not to notice that all of the threes are not equal, even in English, less so in Greek. It's also interesting that the word know, K-N-O-W, know, appears in both of Peter's professions. He doesn't know Jesus, but he insists that Jesus knows that Peter loves him. In both cases, the word know indicates an intimacy with the one known. This is why Peter becomes more and more emphatic in the courtyard that he does not have any association or intimacy with this Christ. And just as the people in the courtyard are paying more attention and become more and more convinced that he is known by the Christ, Peter's life is in great danger at this point. And he sacrifices truth and breaks his oath to Jesus that he would never leave him or forsake him, even if the rest do. On the beach that morning, after sharing what must be considered a sacred meal provided by Christ to his incredulous followers, Jesus turned to his unfinished business with Peter. They walk a little ways down the beach, and he asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" On the surface, it's a simple question, and Peter has attested to his love for Jesus above all others many times. But note that Jesus uses the disciple's birth name, Simon. Simon, not that intimate, comfortable, wonderful name that Jesus had given Simon at the beginning of his ministry, Peter, the rock. Jesus may be letting Simon Peter know that he no longer sees him as a rock. There's something separating them from that intimate time of fellowship that they shared together. Another thing is that the Greek word Jesus uses for love, and I may not pronounce this properly, not being a Greek scholar, is agapan. It is a noble form of the word for love, indicating that the object of love is reverenced and highly esteemed. But Peter's response, also translated love, is given in the Greek phileon, which is an expression of passionate personal affection. Two different loves. Also, scholars argue about what these means. Was Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me more than you love these people that you're fishing with?" Or was Jesus asking, "Do you love me more than these people love me?" Or was Jesus asking, "Do you love me more than all these accoutrements of your former trade of fishing?" After all, seven of the disciples, probably at Peter's instigation, had gone back to the fishing trade instead of following Christ's command for them to be fishers of men. A second time, Jesus asks Simon, "Do you love me?" He still uses agapan, while Simon responds again with phileon. By the third time the question is asked, Jesus too uses phileon. And for some reason, we're told, Simon is hurt by the question. Now we can speculate, was he hurt because Jesus had stooped to use Simon's own word, and that he felt Jesus was putting him down? Or was he hurt because Peter knew that Jesus knew that Peter was remembering the scene in the courtyard where three times He had denied his Lord. He had tried to bury that memory. And now the memory was brought back to life, and Peter was deeply hurt. But with the pain of the memory comes Peter's strongest avowal of his love. He says, "Lord, you know everything. You know well that I love you." The weight of the sin of disavowal has been balanced by the avowal of love. Peter's confession of sin is understood in his profession of love. All real profession is also confession. The questions stop. Jesus' grace has been shown in allowing Peter to reverse his words, and fellowship is restored. As Peter demonstrates his repentance, Jesus responds with that glorious word, "Then." Then, if you love me, then. He recommissions Peter in kingdom service. Then, feed my lambs. Then, tend my sheep. Then, feed my sheep. All of the disciples were told to be fishers of men, to bring the gospel to the world, to be evangelists and teachers. But Peter was given another commission, to be a pastor, to care for Jesus' own sheep, those who are already in the fold, and those who might still be lost and wandering. It's here that my quirky mind wants to quip that Peter was given the commission to do Christ's work by hook or by crook. I identify strongly with Peter. In a personality typing that includes Bible characters who are most like each type, I fall in with Peter. Peter is cocksure one moment and clueless the next. He's taking a sword to a Roman's ear, and he's cowering in fear from a servant girl, all in the same night. And it was this unsteady man that Jesus called a rock. And in Matthew 16, he vowed to build his church on this rock. I'd like to wrap up the sermon here, but I can't honestly do that. Jesus didn't stop after instructing Peter to become a shepherd of men. We know that Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. And so he was commissioning Peter to be an under shepherd, to follow closely Christ. Jesus goes on to tell Peter how closely he's going to follow Christ. He's going to follow Christ to death, the same kind of death that Jesus experienced, death on a cross. And in that death, just as Jesus glorified God, so Peter would glorify God. And then finally, Jesus said to Peter, as he said to his disciples, and as he says to each of us through the ages, "Follow me." Our lives, like Peter's, are to be ones of confession, profession, and procession. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to do so much more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.